الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم سلمني لرمضان وسلم رمضان لي وسلمه لنا متقبلا وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama ikram, my beloved brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who through His infinite mercy, Allah has blessed us with the great day of Yawm al-Jum'ah. Indeed, it is a ni'mat from the side of Allah that despite all the things that are happening around, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us in the sense that we have come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any difficulty whatsoever. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously bless us with this bounty to come to His house without any difficulty. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of our hidayah and our guidance. That when we meet our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah be pleased with us inshaAllah. Ameen. My respected elders and brothers, so today inshaAllah, I have about three topics that I want to share with you in the little time frame that I have. So it's going to be a bit jumbled, but it's what they call organized chaos. But inshallah, we'll get through it. So the first thing that I want to share with you today, my respected elders and brothers, is that first and foremost, I'm sure you must have heard or read over the news, etc., that the ceasefire that has existed between Israel and Hamas is in place. And the world had seen, you and I had seen, the genocidal onslaught that the Israelis unleashed on the innocent civilians of Palestine. This is something that has affected each and every one of us deeply. And it is something that we as Muslims need to understand and know about it. But at the same breath, we also as Muslims praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we welcome the ceasefire. Remember, the loss of any life is not good. The loss of any life is not good. So we welcome the ceasefire, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that also is a lesson unto us as to Muslims. What do we do? Where do we go from here? Just because there is a ceasefire, does it mean it's over? No, on the contrary, my respected elders and brothers, it is our duty and responsibility to know that even though the ceasefire is in place, it doesn't mean by any stretch of imagination that the occupation is over. The lands of Palestine and Gaza, etc. are still being occupied. Our brothers and sisters are still being tormented and persecuted. So it's important as Muslims that we keep abreast with the current affairs that are taking place simply because Al-Aqsa is a place that is linked to us as Muslims. Allah in the Holy Quran mentions and He says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-Aqsa. In the month of Rajab, we remembered the incident of Mi'raj. And we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also at the same time had brought him into the lands of Aqsa. Alladhi barakna hula. Allah says it's such a land that is beautiful and the entire place is blessed with it. So it's important as Muslims that we understand that this place is part of our iman. And Imam Tirmidhi rahimullah, he mentioned so beautifully and he says, Masjidul Aqsa and the well-being of its people. Masjidul Aqsa and the well-being of its people is indicative of the well-being of the ummah. So the well-being of Masjid al-Aqsa and its people is an indication of the condition of the ummah. So technically, if we want to see what is the condition of the ummah currently, we have to look at the land of Palestine. So this place is extremely important unto us. And we cannot and simply will not forget about it. To such an extent that it comes in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says, to perform salah in Masjid al-Haram, in Makkah Sharif, one salah is equivalent to 100,000 in reward. If you had to read salah in Medina Sharif, it's equal to 1,000 in reward. And if you had to read Salah in Masjid al-Aqsa, is equivalent, one Salah is equivalent to 500 in reward. Now you might say, well, it's 500 reward, it's like 500 rand. No, never ever think that. One reward is so huge that the entire world cannot contain it. That is why the reward of a believer is given to him in the akhirah. What we experience from the effect of our good deeds, it's like a crumb from a slice. But the actual reward in the hereafter is so huge that the world cannot contain it. So it's very, very important for us to understand this great land of Masjid al-Aqsa and everything around it. And just a point to reflect, the title of Imamul Anbiya, which was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was given to him because he led the Anbiya alayhi salam, every Nabi in Salah. But where was that Salah? That Salah was in no other place but Al-Aqsa. If the reward was so great, Allah could have made it such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam lead the Anbiya alayhi salam in front of Masjid al-Haram. But Allah chose Masjid al-Aqsa to show you and I that this is a place we must never forget. In this recent genocide that has taken place, over 500 days of warfare had taken place, upon which 100,000 people were injured. 47,000 were killed. 17,492 were children. In a war that lasted 15 months, it has been going on and on and on. Now Gaza is a land that's only about, Palestine is a land about 365 kilometers squared. It houses over 2.1 million. 70% of them are refugees. 70% of them. In this recent war, 80% of all commercial facilities were destroyed. There's no factories to manufacture anything. 92% of all housing was destroyed. 88% of road network was destroyed. More than 50% of hospitals were completely annihilated and destroyed. And the remaining few that existed were barely functional. No anesthetic, no injections, no basic necessities to treat the wounded. 88% of schools and madrasas leveled and finished. 70% of cropland destroyed. These are just not numbers. These are things and figures that must sit in our heart and mind. That this is the condition of the ummah. And look at us, how fortunate we are. Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah. That we have beautiful carpets in our masjid. We have nice structures in our masjids. Our homes are well. Everything is right. So it's very, very important, my respected elders and brothers, that we continuously make dua for the people of Palestine, especially if you look at the news during this week, where now the new Dajjal, Trump, he says we're going to take over Gaza, and we're going to move them out. So if non-Muslims are already thinking about that, don't you think it is our right also to think about them, and to support them in any way possible? Even if it be by means of dua. So don't let this war just be part of the news and part of history. Remember it and keep on making dua for them. But in the midst of all this carnage, my respected brothers, you know, there are certain qualities that of the people of Palestine that I feel that, you know, we just have to share. And we have to take lessons from it. And the first quality is their yaqeen. So when you look at it, everything, anything, one reporter asked the person and he says, look, you have no supplies, you have no flour, you have no petrol, you have no food, you have no clothes, you have no home. He stopped the reporter and he said, we have Allah. Huwa ar-Razzaq. Allah is the provider. This is their yaqeen. Their servitude to Allah is another level on its own. No food, they'll fast. No water, they'll make tayammum. They're reading Salah in broken down buildings. The literacy rate in Palestine, 97.8% of them are literate, can read and write. That's 98% of them can read and write. It doesn't stop them from learning. To such an extent, in every home, almost every home has a hafiz. Madrasas continue in broken down and bombed out houses and buildings. So this is their condition. Their taqwa is something else. Their devotion to Allah is something else. So there was this bomb that fell on a building, and it's called the civil defense team of Gaza. So they go in and they try to help and see the survivors. So they found a brother and sister. The brother must have been only about 10 or 12 years old, and the sister must have been about 7, 8 years old. So they found him. And how they found him? They heard voices. What voices they heard? You and I will be screaming help. They were reading Quran. They were reading Quran. When they pulled him out of the rubble, the brother is telling everyone, no, we sat, we waited, we trusted in Allah. We knew Allah's help will come. I decided to teach my sister. I taught her 2 chapters of the Quran. So, you know, this is something that we have to take lesson from it. And we cannot forget them. We simply cannot. So keep on making dua for the people of Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them victory. Remember, their condition is indicative of our condition on this world. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, ease in their plight, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ultimate reward. Right now they are also currently going through a winter storm. The food, the aid trucks that are coming in are not coming as much as they wanted to, but now too they're going through some difficulty and they're going through a storm on top of that. But they're still happy. They are still happy. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them, inshallah. So that's the first thing I want you to discuss. The second thing, my respected elders and brothers, each and every one of us know that now we are in the auspicious month of Shaban. And this is the month that leads us to the month of Ramadan. And the main purpose of the month of Ramadan is for us to strengthen our iman. This is the whole objective of Ramadan. How we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must be in the mindset of every believer. But in the month of Shaban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a very beautiful night. And this is the night of Laylatul Bara. This is the night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees thousands of people from the fire of Jahannam. On one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates and she says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came home and he engaged in salah. This was unique simply because the salah he performed was extremely long. And his sajda was also long. To such an extent that I thought to myself that perhaps he had passed on. So I touched his body and to my relief I found that his body moved. So I waited. After that salah I said, O Nabi of Allah, today you performed the salah that, you know, normally you don't perform so long. So he says, O Aisha, this is the night of the 15th of Shaban. This is the night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees thousands of people equivalent to the amount of livestock in the Banu Kalb. Now the Banu Kalb was a tribe that was known for the huge amount of flock. And for everyone over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and more would free people from the fire of Jahannam. Now, many a times we would think that this will apply to people who have already passed on. It applies to them as well as to those who are living. Because if a person can engage in ibadah and turn to Allah, then what might have been his destination, which be the fire of Jahannam, Allah protect us all. But through this night of Laylatul Bara, Allah will free him from the fire of Jahannam. So take this opportunity and don't miss it. Inshallah, I hope I remember again, but whilst it's on my head, let me say it now. Inshallah, next week, Thursday night, will be the 15th of Shaban. Friday will be the 15th day of Shaban. So Thursday night, inshallah, after Isha Salah, we'll be having a program over here. We have a guest speaker coming in, inshallah. I humbly appeal to you, if this masjid is close to you, come in. Whichever masjid is closer to you, I'm sure every masjid will be having a program, join in that program. If there are majlises taking place in the form of zikr, etc., be a part of it. It's important and imperative that we get, you know, accustomed to this idea of rectifying our iman. This must always be our ability and always be our want and need. That I have to always look for opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having said that, please keep this in mind. Next week, Thursday night, inshallah, there will be a program taking place after Isha. The other thing that I want to share with you is also, inshallah, on Friday, this is subject to change without notice, on Friday morning after Fajr, inshallah, Mufti AK will be here. And there'll be a short program taking place. Brothers, please come and join, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. So the month of Shaban is here. We have a few days left before the blessed month of Ramadan comes upon us. We need to be ready. Also in that regard, people ask the question about fasting. Remember, it is sunnah to fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of every month. Many people confuse the fast of Shaban with that of Muharram, 9th and 10th and 10th and 11th. So here, remember this, the fast in the month of Shaban, remember 13th, 14th and 15th of every month is sunnah to fast. So this fast is not specific to Shaban. It's a fast that you keep in every month. And if you want to do it, alhamdulillah, it's a sunnah. May Allah give us the tawfiq to understand. So, like I was saying, this month of Ramadan, this month of Shaban is there for us, coming to the third topic now, the month of Shaban is there for us so that we can draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the month of Ramadan. But the month of Shaban is where we prepare for the month of Ramadan. That is why 2 months prior to Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to read that dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Shaban and let us reach the month of Ramadan. Now generally when we talk about blessings, we always talk about extra cash. In the terms of the housewives, they're looking for barakah so they can make more samosas, more this and more savories, etc. But here this idea is not about barakah in that form. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us to exert ourselves so that we can be ready for the month of Ramadan. That is why our pious predecessors, they used to make it such that the month of Rajab was the month, they used to say, the month of Rajab is the month where you sow your seed of Iman. You plant firmly your seed of Iman. The month of Shaban is the month where you water that seed. And this process of planting and watering is done so that you can get a beautiful tree. And when that tree grows, you find a beautiful fruit. As a result of which, when you pluck that fruit, you enjoy that fruit. It's a simple equation. In the very same manner, the months of Rajab and Shaban is the time when a Muslim must exert himself and bring his lifestyle in conformity with lines of Sharia, so that he can enjoy the month of Ramadan. That is why they always tell us and they say, Ramadan is not the month you prepare in. Ramadan is the month you enjoy in. Ramadan is the month where you enjoy your salah. Ramadan is the month where you enjoy your taraweeh prayer. Ramadan is the month where you enjoy your recitation of Quran. Ramadan is the month where you enjoy your fasting. And everything surrounding the month of Ramadan becomes a joyous experience for a believer. But that can only be possible if a person makes effort in these months of Rajab and Shaban. But don't despair, although Rajab is gone, we still have few days in the month of Shaban. So get yourself in order and find ways by which you can bring yourself in line and conformity with the deen, as a result of which your Ramadan becomes a joyous experience. This is what we should all be doing. Now, it was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's habit that he too led by example, that he showed us that even in the months of Rajab and Shaban, he prepared himself. That is why when you look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find many sahaba radiallahu anhu quoting and saying that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to fast so much in the month of Shaban that we assume that it's compulsory. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam fasted in preparation for the month of Ramadan. So we have to understand how great this month of Ramadan is, and also understand the power that Shaban, the month of Shaban and Rajab can give us, if only we could utilize it correctly. So preparation is something very, very important. And it's a skill. Like someone said so beautifully, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. That means if you're not going to get ready for the month of Ramadan, then you're setting yourself up for failure. That is why many of us, I mean, we're not talking about the high-end people, or alhamdulillah, through the month of Ramadan, you know, it's a joyous experience. Allah grant it to us all, inshallah. But I'm talking about you and I, the layman. This is why we find it difficult in the month of Ramadan to adapt. We find it very hard to adapt. The minute there's one hot day, we finished. We can't do without this, and we can't do without that, and you know, our tempers are gone, and this is happening, and that is happening. Simply because we do not prepare ourselves. And we set ourselves up for failure. They say to prepare ahead of time is being proactive. And to prepare and to delay is being reactive. And what is reactive? Reactive means that only when something that boost to push me till this Ramadan, Has it done that? Or have I fallen short the first day after the month of Ramadan has ended? So we need to look and introspect within ourselves that, you know, this is what you have a plan. Have a plan. Know what you want. By now, alhamdulillah, the timetables are out already. So we should look at it already. Don't look what time is iftar. That's the first thing we're looking for. No, check out the times. Look at what time sehri ends. Look at what time iftar comes in. And gauge for yourself that, look, I have a window of an hour after fajr before I go to work. Let me utilize it to make some ibadah. Or I have some time when I finish work before maghrib. Let me utilize it to make some ibadah. This is how a Muslim must think. We're supposed to be such that we must look for opportunity, like I told you, to get closer to Allah. Every step of the way, we have to look for ways by which we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So have a plan. For example, in perhaps the last Ramadan, you know, you couldn't read much Quran. So have a plan that this Ramadan is going to be different. Pace yourself. What tends to happen generally is in the month of Ramadan, we find that, you know, someone in the first of Ramadan, they finish 10 paras of Quran. And in the second day, they finish 5 paras. Now they already got it in their mind, the next 2 days, 15 paras done, khatam is made, and they start calculating 4 days, 4 days, 4 days. And before you know it, by the time they reach the 10th of Ramadan, they're only reading 1 page of Quran. Why? Because they did not prepare. Yes, the masla or the ruling or the tartib should be, a person should make 2 khatams in a year. One outside of the month of Ramadan and one inside the month of Ramadan. But if you have not made a khatam, don't wait for Ramadan to start, then start your Quran. Start now. And inshallah, even if you finish in Ramadan, start again. But don't lose these opportunities. So my respected Ahlis and brothers, my time is up. The point is rather simple and clear. Let us use this month of Ramadan, let us use this remaining days of Shaban to push and exert ourselves so that we can be ready for the month of Ramadan. Make your Ramadan joyous. Make it the most beautiful experience you've ever had in your life. Where you found taste, where you found comfort, where you found everything good only in the worship of Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. Just for the brothers that have come in, next week Thursday inshallah after Isha, there will be a program taking place in our masjid. And I'm sure there's programs in every other masjid. Please attend. This is the 15th night of Shaban. Use this opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also on Friday inshallah after Fajr, Mufti AK will be here. We humbly appeal for the brothers to join inshallah for a short program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to use the month of Ramadan and the days of Shaban solely for his pleasure. And please don't forget to keep our brothers and sisters in Palestine in your du'as. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallah bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.